Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, it is a very fucking cool dude, Jeremy Spencer. You might know him from Five Finger Death Punch or his new band, Psychosexual. Just a really cool dude. Comes in and talks all things of those bands and more. Really happy that we had him on the show. Don't forget, we do the show live every single Wednesday, every single Saturday. The episode you're listening to right now, it actually happened 5 days ago on Gas Digital. You could go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR. You don't get commercials. You get every episode we've ever done. You get every video in HD, and you get it immediately. And if you watch live, when we do the shows live Wednesdays and Saturdays, you get the live chat as well. That's what we do at Gas Digital Network. So use the code SDR, gasdigitalnetwork.com. If you don't want to do that, which is fine, you are listening to the episode right now. You can hear it on Spotify, on YouTube, anywhere you want. We're just happy that you share the show and tell people about it. But right now, here it is, the Jeremy Spencer episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I beat, it's hocus and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me this week, who's been like, it's funny, I rotate different co-hosts in and out, and lately it's been James. James Madden, how are you, buddy?
What a goddamn pleasure. I'm all right, man. This is
you got
great.
You got a good mic. Your background looks nice.
I'm back in my apartment for another few days in Brooklyn. Look at this setup and shit. Come on,
great.
Baby. Just for you, buddy.
You look
just
happy.
You.
I can tell you're happy in your home.
Yeah, buddy, this is amazing. All right. Until the ghosts come back, but that's another story.
And by the way, someone emailed me just yesterday and said, kudos to you for making James make his bed when Rob Schneider was on. So I like to feel that I helped you a little bit.
Yeah, at the end of the show, I'll take the whole computer into my room just to show everyone I'm a new man because of you and Rob Schneider.
Thank you so much. Follow us everywhere at I Am Ralph. So, no, that's me. Follow us everywhere at the SDR Show. Shannon is producing once again. Ani is in it as well. Ani got some props for being a cute chickadoo on one of our YouTube pages. So good going,
Thank
Ani.
You.
Congratulations. And now we will introduce this guy this way. Drummer, singer, author, actor, director, founding member of Five Finger and a brand new band. He is known now as Devil Daddy. Hello, Shannon. How is Jeremy Spencer? How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
So I'm going to tell you this. First of all, I sort of casually know you for a very long time since the band first started, right? I don't know if you remember me exactly, which I don't expect people to, but 2007 started. The first Five Finger album came out. Kudos to you for being a part of probably, I would say, the most successful new rock band in the, I don't know of any other bands that go up to that level, the amount that you guys influenced rock and roll and whatnot. But I was friends with Daryl, who was your bass player originally from the band Wasp, and he was in Tough for a little bit. So I got invited to come down to whatever record label was the first record. I don't remember, to be honest with you. But so I came into the record studio, the record company, and I got to sit down with all of you, everybody minus Ivan, and I introduced myself. And my opening question was, what the fuck is a Five Finger Death Punch? And could you please do it to Bret Michaels? And that clip went viral of that day, because everyone thought it was when Rock of Love was really popular. And then we became friendly on Shiprocked a little bit. And I did the hackiest thing in the world, James, where when I introduced them on stage on Shiprocked, I said this. It's such a hacky thing, but I knew it would work. When I say Five Finger, you say Death Punch.
Oh.
I hated that I was going to do it, but I knew it was going to work, and it worked. So, Jeremy Spencer, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
I thought we lost it. It'd be cool if we lost you. So, do you? And I don't care if the answer is no. Do I look familiar at all? By the way,
I'm trying to place it, man.
Oh, it hurts so bad.
the 2007 part, that was all drinking days for me. So
yeah, but I mean, I on Shiprock at least, fun. Maybe on Shiprock, the host of Shiprock, not at all. Fucking A.
I mean, shit.
I don't care.
We did it a few times. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Look, I don't take it personally, but Shannon, let's end the show right now.
Yeah. Fuck this guy and his new band. Yeah.
So Five Finger, many, many years, crazy, crazy popular. It was kind of a weird thing because you, correct me if I'm wrong, departed in a strange way, which was you had a back problem. And not only did you like leave amicably, but you helped find your replacement. That's not done normally, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not that way at all, normally for people. But yeah, I became friends with Charlie on Instagram and I started following. I was a fan of his drumming. I'm like, this guy's really good. And, you know, once I knew that it was time for me to address the back stuff and to step off the out of the machine, I thought this guy would be a good replacement because he has a good personality and he can play everything really good. And it ended up being a good fit. So I started making videos for him, like overhead stuff of the show. Wow. And we invited him out and I let him watch me from behind the drum kit for a couple of days. And like he would play sound checks with the band and that way they got to feel it out and make sure he was the guy. But I'm like, just trust me, guys. He's your guy. This is the guy you need. So
was he the only guy that auditioned for it? Like was the only guy that was up for it or there was a couple other drummers?
Well, I really don't know if they, unless they did it without me knowing about it, but that's really all I know is that Charlie came out and then next thing I know, he was the guy.
That's cool. That's great. And now he's like officially a part of the band. The new album's out this year, I believe. And that's kind of wild. And well, I want to get into then what happens next, which is you start this band called Psychosexual, right? Mm-hmm. And you've been super, I mean, it's, I don't know how long it's existed, but there's already not only a full length record, there's a covers record. And then I have a new single that was sent to me that's not on either of those. So
yeah,
you guys have been really busy. Is it because of COVID or are you just like super excited about this or a mixture
of both? It's both. Yeah, we're working on record 5 right now. That's how that's how much we've been cranking it out. But yeah, the second album's coming out in a couple months. The song you have is the first single off that. And we love it. It's what I, you know, I mean, I just love making music. And when you're enjoying it, there's nothing like it. When you don't enjoy it, it's not all that fun, especially you know, like if you're clashing or you have to do it for deadlines or to make a certain quarter release or whatever. It's just, it's not the same ones. If it's because you want to do it and because you love it, it's way different.
And I mean, I would feel, and I could be wrong here, so I apologize if I'm wrong, but as Five Finger became much more successful, I mean, it was big from the first record, but it became a machine. It felt less like an organic rock band and more like just, oh, it's time to do this. And then we got to do that. We get onto that cycle of new album tour. It starts to become a business as opposed to a band. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, it really almost was a business anyway, but the more successful you get, the bigger things get, things change and there's deadline. I mean, your time is, you have no time to yourself. You have no life. It's just, you're wrapped up in what the schedule is.
By the way, James raised his hand, which usually means he has a question. Go ahead, James.
Oh no, I feel bad. I usually do. I just have a bad shoulder. And so I was just feeling that. I'm just intrigued. You know, I like to sit out the first 10 minutes.
I know. Really that's why I was like, whoa, James is coming in early.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of the 49ers in the 80s. I kind of just take off the first 10 plays and then figure it out.
Fair enough. Okay, so now in watching what I've been watching with Psychosexual, it does look like, I mean, even the name, Devil Daddy, you guys look like you're just having a fucking blast. I could be wrong again here. This music is not meant to be taken seriously. It's fun, happy rock and roll. It's just like old school nod to like, not only like Type O Negative, but it's very Lordy-esque. It's very old school, just fun. Hot chicks, like what I grew up on, what you miss in rock and roll now is the unapologetically almost sexualization of every, like it's just fun, ridiculous. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. Yeah. And it's not all like that. Like I said, we're on record 5. So things have been changing, but certainly that first record is all sexually driven chick stuff. You know, it's you're right. It's been missing in rock and roll. It's to be, you know, it's supposed to be fun. Don't right. take it too serious. Don't. I mean, I know it's fun to hate on shit no matter what it is. And this is a great target for hate. Believe me. And I get it.
I'm sure. But, I read some comments on YouTube where yeah. people, and it's also what it's just an unfortunate truth is that when you're in a band that's been so popular, like Five Finger, like how dare you put out something that doesn't sound like Five Finger? Shame on you, which is insane. Like, why can't you be obviously someone who not only is now you're singing, which is a big difference, but you know, you're a drummer, singer, you wrote a book, you're an artistic guy. God forbid you want to explore other genres that maybe were inspirational to you.
Yeah, and I get that. It's shocking to people because they have you in a certain way in their mind. Like, if it would be confusing to me if Lars Ulrich did this record, you know, and came out looking like this, I'd be like, what the fuck? But fucking, that's awesome, you know?
I've always been happy about that. I like to see, like, when a lot of people shit on Tommy Lee when he put out, like, that industrial record. I liked Methods of Mayhem with the rapping. Just, it's not a Motley Crue record. It's Tommy just trying to explore something else. Big fucking deal.
Yeah, I mean, we've done the other things so much that we want to be stimulated and do stuff that's different to us and we can enjoy. I mean, we get the other thing that's built in, but mm-hmm. I wanted to do other things. And even before the psychosexual thing, I was doing even different music that you could find under Devil Daddy. Now it's almost like 80s new wave pop, like synth pop, you know,
that's
totally
cool.
different.
That's really cool.
I'm a fan of that shit. I grew up with it. So I love it.
As one of the, you know, I mean, I think every Five Finger record was a collaborative effort. Everybody's credited as writers on that. Were you writing songs in that 12 years, whatever it is you've been in that band, that you're like, oh, I'm going to save, this is not a Five Finger song. This is something, or did you always just write in that Five Finger mindset until now?
Yeah, it was always business. It was always Death Punch business. So we were focused on what we had to get done, and we would just do that. We would bang it out when we had to bang it out. And my thing I did in my spare time, and it was never to be confused. Like, hey, guys, I have this song. It's got keyboards. You know, it was never like that.
That's keyboards. God, I remember when Van Halen added keyboards, people fucking shit themselves. But, you know, then on one of the songs, a former Five Finger Death Puncher, who my 80s school rock will tell you he was also in the Bullet Boys. Jason Hook was on one of the songs. Did he just come in for one song because you stayed friends? Like, what's the story behind that?
Well, we talk every day almost. I mean, we've been best friends almost 25 years, even before Death Punch. Like, he was in Alice Cooper whenever I asked him to come be a part of Death Punch, you know? So, you know, I was like, dude, I'm doing this cover record. Would you please lay a solo down? He's like, of course. I mean, and I'm like, it's Kiss. So it's his favorite band. It was really not that hard of a sell. You know, I mean, we're friends. It wasn't, dude, do this for me so I can use your name. You know, it was like, we're friends. And he fucking threw down a solo on a song that he likes.
And that's it. It was just that and no more. Cause I saw, which was funny, in doing research, I was trying, you know, Google different things. And I saw your former lead singer put out an Instagram video. Almost like I took it as he listened and really liked it, because he said challenge accepted, as in like, all right, this is good. Now I have to do better. He didn't say, what the fuck is that? Or did I read that wrong? Because you know him better than I do, obviously.
I'm not sure. I think he kind of misunderstood what he was told. But I mean, if you listen to it, it's obviously it's a cover. So it's not like us kind of do some original thing. If it was an original song, I could see that being more, you know, you'd be confused. Well, are you guys doing a new project? But it's a fucking cover song for starters. Right. But, you know, I think he was just misunderstood with it, and he reacted the way he does. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and you get what you get, and it's okay. It's all good, man. I take it to mean
that at least you know he listened to it. You know what I mean? Like that's a good sign. You know he listened to it.
Maybe he did. I don't even know. But it's all good. I'm certainly not surprised by that reaction, but I am a little, because it's like, dude, we're best friends. You're surprised that we fucking did a song together? But it's okay. It's all good.
So that leads me into the covers record, which I just love the concept of the cover record. It's called Songs to Stalk You To. Right. And it's all these songs that are synonymous with, well, that's a little much, you know, like Watching You by Kiss is the cover. The Queensryche, which a lot of people don't know, is not a Queensryche song, but Gonna Get Close to You. Yeah. All the songs that are on there are very much just creepy songs, which is great. How did you pick, the ones that were like the best creepy songs for you? You know what I'm saying? Well,
I wanted to cover Gonna Get Close to You for a long time. And once we did that one, which was actually very difficult, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if we did like, let's just make all the covers about stalking. That way it's a, you know, it has a concept kind of.
Yeah, and Shannon could send it to all of her stalkers for the rest of her life. Just send that album.
But yeah, even that Bowie song, like Love You Till Tuesday, if you listen to the original, it was creepy lyric in for the 60s, you know?
Right, exactly.
But, and it's funny. We obviously changed it, made it dark and heavy and stuff like that. But
Were you already aware that, because a lot of people didn't know that that Queensryche song is not them. It was a DeBello song, and then they covered it. Did you know that also? Or you thought it was a good, because on this moment, yesterday I found out, this has nothing to do with you, so I apologize, but a song from the 80s rock world that I never knew was a cover, I just found out yesterday, which is Tesla's Little Susie. Do you know that song?
Of course, and I didn't know that was a cover either.
I found out literally yesterday. It was the fifth video ever played on MTV of a different band, and it's a cover from them. And I never, I mean, I'm now 51 years old. I've loved that song for 30 years, I think, roughly, and I just found out it's a fucking cover song.
Wow, man. Yeah, I didn't know that. I always dug, I like that band. I like that song too.
Yeah, it's funny. So now the new single we were given is Devil From Hell, and that's on a new record. When is that actually coming out? Because that's now will be, I guess, your third record, right?
Well, I mean, I consider it the second record because the cover things of just an EP, whatever. Okay, but so I'm targeting March. The single should be dropping soon, like really soon. The name of the album is Unholy Hymns for the Children.
It's such a fucking fun. This is my, like, when I started listening and getting into it, when Amy from the record label sent it to me, I'm like, oh, fuck, I love this shit. Like, I don't know, like, I was such a fan of Lordi when they came out, you know, and their first video with all hot chicks doing, it was called Hard Rock Hallelujah. They won a contest for it. It's all gorgeous cheerleaders dressed up as zombies, and it was so much fun. And this feels like that, just fun rock and roll. Like I would imagine, although the outfit's got to be super uncomfortable on stage, I could be wrong, but that first stage show that you guys get to do out in the public, it's just going to be filled with hot chicks, tons of pyro, just fucking fun as shit live show that rock is missing. Because not only am I a fan of the rock and roll, James, I'm a fan of the pageantry.
Oh, man, who isn't, baby? You know, who isn't? Can I just say this? Bro, you clearly name every, you're the greatest namer ever. The albums, your bands, like, I'm not going to have kids, but if an accident happens and my wife doesn't, or my girlfriend, whatever, I want you to name my kids is what I'm trying to tell you. Cause I feel like you're not fucking around between your band names, your concept albums. I have a couple albums coming out this year. I might just have you name the shits. Seriously.
I'd be honored, man.
Speaking of which, like, how did the term psychosexual, the name, come about?
That's a good one. I was looking for things on the internet that looked cool to me that had sex in the title. Because like all the songs were sexually based, you know, lyric wise. So I'm like, what would be a cool fucking name for this? So I punched in like sex names or
premature ejaculation. No, that won't work.
I can't remember how I did it, but I'm like, that name jumped off the page. Psychosexual. That's the one. So
that's funny. It's also the only thing it thinks when you Google it, the first thing that comes up is if you have a psychosexual disorders is what comes up first. You know? But you know, it's just kind of funny that that's the case. And then I know, and I want to get into this a little bit, but because of your other projects, which we'll talk about in a minute, the Lady Killer TV, which is with tons of porn stars, like gorgeous girls like Tori Black. And I mean, girls are unbelievably hot in that. I saw somewhere that you said, because you have already 6 videos released, I think, something like that, if not more at this point, that there's videos that you shot that you can't release on YouTube because it involves a lot of the porn stars. Am I right to assume that you're single or you're not single? Because if you're not single, boy, are you fucking this up, dude.
Well, when I did make all those videos, I was single. Now I'm not single. But
now you're in a threesome relationship with Tori Black and Adriana Chechik, right? Is that where it's going?
Yeah, sure.
All right, before we go any further, if you are listening to the show and you're over 21, I want to tell you about Fully Loaded Chew. I know a lot of people out there that are still smoking cigarettes or hitting vape pens. You know it's bad for you, and you may be looking for a way to transition out. I would like to talk to you about Fully Loaded Chew. So now, nicotine, we know it's an addictive chemical. We're not suggesting you do this, but if you're already smoking, you're already vaping, then I want to introduce you to Fully Loaded Chew. It is for people that also maybe you like to dip. You know it's bad for you. It fucks up your lip. But what we have now is Fully Loaded Chew. It saves your lip. They have great flavors like wintergreen, mint, bourbon, peach, and it comes in different nicotine levels. It's full strength, the same as nicotine, or you could slowly go down if you want to start cutting down. And if you're a dipper, you definitely want to try Fully Loaded Chew as well. I can't say much about it personally because I don't use it, but you know, so if you go to fullyloadedchew.com, use the promo code FREEGAS, you get a free tin and free shipping. Save a lip with Fully Loaded. Again, it's fullyloadedchew.com. The code is FREEGAS and you get a free tin and free shipping. Cut down on your nicotine, start getting healthier. Every little bit helps. So if you're cutting down, go to half strength or full flavor ones like the peach or whatever, fullyloadedchew.com. The code is free gas. Let's get back into it. Before we go any more into psychosexual, talk to me a little bit about this whole Lady Killer TV thing that you're doing with the porn stars.
Well, I always wanted to do like a parody type horror thing, but make it push the envelope and make it sexier. Because you would see like Friday the 13th and there would always be sex scenes in them, but they were just generic and really quick. Like you'd see a boob and then it would be gone. But I wanted something that you're like, fuck, this is steamy and I'm weird. You know, I'm turned on by this shit and I probably shouldn't be because there's like fucking gore and people getting chopped up and shit. But I just wanted to kind of marry the two because I'm a warped motherfucker. And
it's almost as if you're psychosexual. Oh, hey, pow, pow, boom.
You can put them on the board. Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just something I wanted to do for a while. And then once we started that project, all the girls, I can't believe we got those girls because I didn't know any of them, but my business partner.
By the way, hold on, James. Wink. He didn't know any of them.
I really didn't. I mean, I knew of them, but I didn't.
See how quickly the story changes? Like, yeah. I knew their first 11 movies, but after that.
Yeah, of course.
I've heard rumors of their existence, like they're John Henry or Paul Bunyan.
I mean, after their birth date, where they were born, and their measurements, really, I was out after that, to be honest.
All right, I've been stalking them for years. Yeah.
The inspiration they were for that
subject
covers
of the covers record.
Exactly. Yeah, so I was surprised that I got that they agreed to do it, but they were friends with my business partner who was like he was a cameraman for Brazzers for like a decade. So we met all these girls and they all liked him. So he would reach out and go, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And they're like, sure. So I didn't know any of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, we got Nicole Aniston. This is awesome. And
it actually makes me ask you an interesting question. Cause with psychosexual and with this, with the Lady Killer TV, where sexualization of women is so front and center, and in this crazy world that we live in these days, that God forbid you actually are attracted to women on screen or in a video, it's like a negative thing. Have you been a magnet of like feminism or anyone trying to tell you, take that down, it's too sexualized or it's degrading to women? Has any of that come your way yet?
Not yet. It's been more like,
well, get ready.
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, the hate's been there, but it's more like, this is shit. This is the worst band I've ever heard in my life. Like, people would hit up my inbox and tell me what a piece of shit I am. I'm like, oh, cool. Good morning. You know,
nice, thanks, mom.
Yeah, cool. But, you know, it's okay. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of shit coming, but that's all part of the fun, man. I mean, being this character, you can push the envelope in so many different fucking areas.
I mean, but right away, though, when the band is called Psychosexual, your character is Devil Daddy. Anybody that's thinking you're trying to work like some sort of masterpiece movement other than just be fun, loud rock and roll, sexualized fun shit, it's crazy that people get upset about it. Like, they don't see what you're trying to do here. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, things really aren't to be taken that serious. I mean, I take it serious writing and stuff.
Well, yeah, I get that. Of course, you want good songs.
Yeah, I would try to make it as good as I can, but as long as I'm enjoying it, and I kind of like fucking doing the hot poker here and there. Even in Death Punch, we did it, you know, and it's fun. It's why I shouldn't like in Death Punch, we had titles like War is the Answer and shit, and that was. Right. That got people's attention. I'm like, what do you mean? That's offensive. Well, yeah, it is.
For a while, Five Finger, and I don't know if it still looked at this way, they were like very considered like bro rock, which was like, I've never heard that term until Five Finger. I guess, I don't know what other bands would be in that category, but it was like, they felt like it would bring out a different level. And maybe because the album titles, song titles like that, I don't know. Did you ever feel that actually happening on stage? Or like that kind of like, dude rock, you know what I mean, that bro down rock and roll kind of vibe?
It was more in the beginning, it was all dudes, sweaty dudes smashing each other up front, and then
look at Shannon masturbating.
and then as songs started getting popular on the radio and we were selling records and we made that leap to arenas, then it was all girls and women, and it had changed.
Yeah, especially when a couple of the cover songs hit big, I think it changed your audience, right? I mean, it had to.
Oh, for sure. When Bad Company hit, that fucking changed everything. I mean, The Bleeding got us in the game, but Bad Company is what really did it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's when you were everywhere. I think it was you and In This Moment at Irving Plaza. I think that's who the lineup was. It was such a fucking... And that the cover wasn't out yet. And it was the first time we heard the cover was on stage there. It was like, holy shit, this is fucking great. It was so cool.
Oh, yeah. We did that because we didn't have enough material. We only had one record out. So we're right. Like, fuck, we need... And Daryl brought that idea to the band, that the Bad Company song. And I was like, fucking, let's do it. We got to
fill the time. Daryl's such a cool dude. What happened? Like, I don't mean to go back to Five Finger, but he was such a cool dude. What happened with Daryl? Like, was there some reason he left?
It was just kind of apparent that it wasn't going to work moving forward with that guitar duo, you know?
Okay, fair enough.
There's some people that work good together, some that don't. I always loved Daryl. He was fucking hilarious.
Such
man.
A nice dude. I met him when I think he did a Tough record. He did like the reunion Tough record. They had an American Badass, I forget what it was called, something like that. I could be wrong on the title. And then... he was in Wasp for a little bit, and he kept coming into the studio on my old radio show. And then when I was like, oh shit, he's in Five Finger. And he got me into that to be able to be part of that interview that you don't remember because you don't care about me.
And I was a fucking drunk. Yeah, it was really bad for a while. Like the first 4 years of that band, I fucking rode it hard and put it away wet, man. I'll tell you.
Really? That's great. You know, I think, and I don't want to say her name, but I believe someone that used to work with me, I don't know if you slept with her or not, but I think she was really trying to get into your pants on one of the ship rocks. And I feel like it happened, but I don't want to say her name. She would get so mad at me. But somebody I worked with back on my old radio show, I remember there was a moment where I think it happened. Wow. So it's kind of cool that you banged one of the people that worked with me.
Well, if that's cool, then awesome.
It's great. I'm all for it. James has a question.
I just want to give a shout out. Cause I like, I'm old school rock kid. And I'm from Vegas, which is kind of like a dirty town. It is nice to hear Rode Hard and Put Away Wet again in 2021. Yeah. You're probably the first person to fucking say it. And it means a lot to me.
Awesome,
I grew up with that, with my buddy's dad who used to kill black widows with his bare fingers in the garage. He used to say that shit to us when we were kids. And I like that shit. All right. That's
you grew up in Vegas.
Guilty dog. You can't win them all, baby.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've lived here since like 2009, so it's been a while now.
Oh wait, you're in Vegas right now?
He's in Vegas right now. Vegas. He lives in Vegas.
Yeah. Shit, man, I'm about to tell you where my old house was. See how close you are, man. I'm a nerd out now, bro.
Look at that. You guys are connecting.
We are, man.
Chaparral High School, bro. The hoodest school in the history of hoods.
I don't think are you native? You're not native, right? Jeremy, where are you from originally?
I grew up from Indiana.
Let me ask you this very important question. How often are you confused with the Jeremy Spencer Fleetwood Mac? Does that happen every now and then?
Every now and then.
Like you get ready for an interview and you could tell that the interviewer thought you were him?
That's never happened. But people's like, I tried to go to your website and it was fucking some older guy came up. You know, I'm like, well, fuck. Yeah, I mean, there is more than one Jeremy Spencer. Yeah,
I mean, it's rare that it would be two people with the same name, both in very big bands. That's probably not a big off the top of my head. There's no names that are sticking out of like, oh, do you mean the Johnny Smith in this band or that band? I don't think so. You know,
well, I would probably say that even though we have the same name, he's probably got the bigger bank account.
I would imagine so. It is Fleetwood Mac money, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
he got me.
Recently, and I don't know much about this, but, you know, again, doing my due diligence, you were sworn in a, as a cop in your hometown of Indiana. Is that right?
It was right outside my hometown. Yeah. In Rockport, Indiana. I had some friends that are in the police department. They're like, hey, man, would you be interested in coming back here and taking the test and seeing if you can get in, and we can probably get you in. I'm like, wow, shit, yeah, let's try it.
Just for so just for shits and giggles? Like, let me go in?
I went back. I studied hard. I spent 4 days with the training and got sworn in, and it happened. So,
but now the motivation was, why not? Or did you think I could give back? Like, what was the...
It was both. It was both. It's like, it's a challenge. It's something that you would never, ever think that I would do. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity to give back to the community. I just went there for a toy drive in December and stood out in the rain, and we raised a lot of funds and toys and stuff for families around there. But
you're not going out on the beat and giving people tickets or anything. You're just...
The funny thing was, is I was scheduled to go back to start doing that stuff. And then the COVID thing hit and everything changed. Like, there would be one person working. So they didn't even have a need for it, you know, but who's to say that it won't happen at some point? It just hasn't yet.
Yo, I have a suggestion. I think this is the best idea I've ever had. Why don't you go back on the beat with the porno broads from Lady Killers?
You go out as Devil Daddy.
Let's go. Bring those Devil Daddy girls
with a badge.
To walk the beat and give them and make it old school, like something out of the Untouchables, like your Sean Connery, have like a billet club and shit and Irish accents and all that shit.
Dude, that was
Andy Garcia's around. He ain't busy. Go make have fun with this shit.
Officer Devil Daddy.
Officer Devil Daddy. See, Shannon says it, and already I'm sure guys are getting aroused.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Can you say that again?
say it a little slower, maybe.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, COVID changes everything, which we don't know when the world is going to open up again. But I would imagine the plan is to tour on this, right? That's the idea. Was there, because it's been around for a while, was there a plan in the works that got stopped? Or did it never get that far because COVID hit already?
I was in talks to do a tour. Yes, it had started and then COVID happened right after and everything stopped. But we did do a live stream show, which was weird. That was our first show.
Mm-hmm, that's weird.
Because you finish and then there's like two people in there that go, you know.
It's like when James is on stage doing comedy, but during the regular day. It's not during COVID.
Yeah, things have gotten so much better now. Now there's three claps for me.
Fuck yeah, kick ass. Yeah, I mean, it was an experience. I don't know that I necessarily like the live stream show, but we tried it. I want to get in front of a crowd, you know. I miss that. It's been a couple of years.
Do you have to be clean shaven to wear that makeup and shit?
Oh yeah. That's well, I can have a little scruff here because, mm-hmm, you know, I do a little darkened goatee thing, but got to fucking shave the head and all that shit.
I always wonder when you see things like that. There was a band years ago, I forget the name of them, but they all wore like black contacts where their eyes were like jet black and like three, like really nice suits. They were rock. I forgot the name of the band, but when they had when they were a new band, cause you are a new band, even though you do have the pedigree of Five Finger, if you get on a festival, it's probably not going to be 8 PM at night. It's probably gonna be 4 PM or something. And you're in this fucking crazy outfit. That band quit pretty soon after, cause they couldn't see, their eyes started to get infected and they were sweating in their fucking suits. So, and I look at like when Ghost first started out, they had those problems. Like, have you thought about how this is going to work in a live environment?
It's going to fucking be horrible, but it's okay. It's fun, man. And getting into that makeup sucks. It sucks, but right, there's no, I can't sugarcoat it. It sucks. But I think just getting to do that and achieving this goal and just having fun and letting it rip, man. It's okay. I've done the other thing. I don't need to revisit that. And,
right. And something about no expectations. You're just going out to have fun. You're not going out to do a five finger production. You're just going out to have fun.
That would fucking rule if we had the finances to do a big production. Right. That's the ultimate dream. I mean, obviously, you want to be fucking Kiss, but the reality is that's not happening on the first fucking tour. So we'll see how far we can get, but you know, we'll try to make it as exciting and fun as possible for people because that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, by the way, I can't say enough about it because I did a deep dive into all of it. It's just so much fun. And that, like, there was a band, an 80s rock band. They weren't a makeup like that band, but the band LA Guns. I'm sure you remember LA Guns, right? Mm-hmm. I always knew you go to an LA Guns show, there's just going to be hot chicks there. The whole shtick with LA Guns was it was all about sexuality and you know, craziness, and all the songs were, and it was just fun to go. And I don't, Buck Cherry was another one years later that had that same vibe of just a fun rock and roll show, just get crazy. And I miss that. I miss just silly, fun rock. Like Steel Panther would be another one, but there's an air of silly, a little more silly than just fun. Nowadays, though, maybe not, but so it's my wheelhouse so much. I just can't say enough good things about it, dude.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is all about fun. And it's been a long time since we've had that. I mean, I've seen so many bands, we both have. And like growing up through the 80s, it was amazing.
Yeah, Saint 80s rock was just, how many girls could you shove in a video? You know, it was fucking great. I know it makes me sound old and out of touch, but I'm sorry. I think you ask 100%, 90% of guys are going to rather see a video with hot chicks than brooding dudes the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I get the adrenaline and the fucking, I want to lift weights to the heavy shit, and that's cool, but you want to look at the hot girls.
Why do you think we have Shannon's tits on this fucking video the whole time? What do you think, we're stupid?
What do you mean? I haven't noticed.
You're the best.
Now, speaking of this whole, like, the world we live in right now, right, this crazy time, your former bandmate's newest video, kind of an anti-masking video. Did you watch that at all? Did you see that at all?
I did see it because I saw a headline about that. So I was like, well, I got to check it out. So that's cool. You know,
do you have a particular stance on where we're going right now? Or you stay silent on the world of COVID?
I think that we need to fucking do whatever they're telling us to do and to get through the goddamn thing so everything can open back up.
Yeah, that's a nice, you know, normal, logical answer.
I'm not a conspiracy guy. Hey, I don't need the whole conspiracy shit. I don't buy into that stuff. But right, it's, you know, I try to not talk about this as much because you just get fucking crucified.
Yeah, of course. And, so these days, you certainly do. Now it's crazy. It's about fucking 5 or 6 years ago, dude, you wrote a book that did really well about surviving Five Finger. You know, that was the title was Death Punched, right? Yeah. And I think I heard something that you were, because that is now 6 years ago, several albums ago. And, you know, before you had your back problems and all this other shit, is there another one in the works, like to go like stage two?
It's halfway done. And then I shelved it. I'm like, I cannot do this right now. I don't want to tour it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to defend it. I don't want to fucking do this right now. So I put it away, but it's there to be finished in case I want to do it.
And then you're going to call it Devil Daddied?
You never know. I can't name it with anything with the old band name, though. I was told that legally. So,
oh, okay. Fair enough. And yeah. So now that you're fronting a band, and I mean, I'm not a drummer, so I don't know for sure, but I imagine it's less stress on your back to stand and sing than it is to do like double bass crazy drumming for hours. So in that respect, A, is your back healing? And B, does it feel better to be in this position?
I had a crazy surgery. Yeah, it sucked. It was a major setback, but my back feels a lot better now. I still wouldn't want to go back and play double bass. I'm tired, dude. But, you know, as the Devil Daddy character, I wear these fucking platform boots that suck. So it's different, but it's not, I don't think it's as bad because the double bass never stopped in Death Punch. It was always double bass. I'm like, fuck, I'm dying. But, you know, I did survive it. It fucked my back up, though.
Is it fair to say, and I may be wrong again, I like just taking shots in the dark. I psychoanalyze people very often. being that your first time, and maybe it's not your first time, but I think it's your first time fronting a band. Is it your first time fronting a band?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So then this makes sense. Do you think it made it easier to create a character so you can be a character instead of being Jeremy fronting the band?
Maybe, but I didn't want to just look at Jeremy. I want to see fucking Kiss.
You and me both, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. So I want to see something interesting to look at than just a normal person. You know, right. Like how many times have we seen fucking that, you know?
Right. I guess that, but I mean, even with Kiss, it's still Gene Simmons. Yeah, he's the demon, but it's still Gene Simmons. You are just Devil Daddy. You follow what I'm saying?
I mean, the character can be anything I want it to be, which is cool. And, you know, but I want to make it's personable. I want you to fucking like this guy. That's why it's not just a mask. I wanted you to be able to see the expressions and the smiles and be able to see my mouth move and talk and be able to, you know, rather than just a mask where it's like this.
Do the other guys in the band have equally unique names? Like the bass player, the guitar, do they all have pseudonyms?
Yeah, yeah.
What are the other pseudonyms? I don't know them.
The guitar player is Crucifier.
Okay, like it.
The bass player is Astaroth.
All right. Okay. I'm sure that's some sort of reference that I don't get, but it sounds like something mythological.
And the drummer is Volek. Yeah.
Volek.
Yeah.
I had a girl do that to me last night. She gave me my Voleks.
Isn't that fucking great?
It was Volek, Shannon. That's what that was. That's pretty wild. And now, who's in the band?
Well, it's some guys from Vegas.
Just regular guys that you knew from Vegas.
Yeah, shit, it might be my cousins. This is fucking great. They told me they were onto something good. This is wonderful.
It could be, man.
Are they friends of yours for a while? Did you audition people? Like, how did that come about?
The guitar player, Crucifier, and I have been friends for a long time. He's worked on some of the production stuff of Death Punch records. Like, he would help edit vocals and whatever. Mm-hmm. He worked at the same studio, but that's how we met. And the other guys he knew, so brought him in, and it just seemed to work out. So.
And this is the band. There was no, like, we got to swap this guy out or whatever. No Daryl-esque replacements. This is where we are.
This is where we are. I mean, obviously, there hasn't been a tour because COVID happened. So,
but I mean, if you're working on five records together, you probably know if you get along.
Yeah, 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 which we do. And it's really cool to... There's no moments of, fuck, man, we have to make a record. It's like, fuck, yeah, we're making a record. So it's fun, you know, it's different.
That's awesome. I think it's really cool. I'll tell you, like, again, the band is Psychosexual. I mean, I just think it's so much fun. Shannon, let's ask the first.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
All right, the name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. We end the show every week by asking your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll. Ask you the first concert you ever went to.
Okay, God damn it. It was the Kiss Dynasty Tour. Strong. And I wanted to go see Kiss. I was just got turned on to Kiss. I was fucking pumped. My friend was going. I asked my parents and they said, oh, absolutely not. I'm like, what the fuck? I was so bummed out. But he's like, but I do have tickets for Hall & Oates.
Wow.
I'm like, what the fuck is Hall & Oates, dude? But then I went and it was incredible. Like, that was
did you legitimately not know who all Hall & Oates were?
I mean, kind of a little, but I was fucking 6 years old, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
you're six. On the radio. Oh, wow. Jeez. That's yeah, so like, funny.
It was,
so
it was
did
a
you
dynasty.
Enjoy it at least?
What's
did
that?
They play Rich Girl? Let's get to the bottom of this shit.
Dude, yeah, I mean, so many songs. It was awesome. I loved the concert. I just didn't know much about them, and I wanted to see fucking Kiss. I didn't give a shit who it was. I was like, I can't go see Kiss. I don't fucking care.
These guys are not spitting blood. What's going on?
Yeah, but it was awesome, man. I mean, so many songs and great players and great singing. I loved it, but it wasn't Kiss.
But you were six.
I was six.
Okay, I mean, that's, you know, you're pretty young, but that's kind of cool that you actually wanted to see Kiss. I guess Kiss was also... At that time, they always, like, kids love them because of their cartoony ways. Was there a band that you saw live that you said, oh, God, I want to be a drummer? You know, you went to go see and you knew that's what I want to do.
Well, I mean, I wanted to be a drummer because of Peter Criss.
Staring
at the album covers, you know, and then like in Alive, looking at the gatefold and the front of that cover, listening to the drum solo. And I'm like, but I have to do this. This is it.
That's cool. When did you start playing?
My mom, when I was six.
Oh, wow. Wow. It all tied together. Look at that.
Yeah. And my mom told me that I went into a room or wherever she was at one point, like crying because I couldn't decide whether or not I wanted to be a pro football player or a rock star.
It's good to have aspirations. At least you made one of them. Who would have thought you would have hit one of them, right?
I know. She was like, it's okay, honey. You know, there's time to figure that out. I'm like, no, I fucking need to know. You know, it's a big deal.
I got another brilliant idea. Ready? It's a Hall & Oates cover band in Kiss makeup. You're welcome.
Damn,
idea number two, put on the board, baby.
That's awesome.
You should think about doing a Hall & Oates cover for Psychosexual. That would be like a nice full circle thing.
It could happen.
Come on, please.
The way you say that, I don't believe you. How about that?
I'll tell you what, though. There's so we can push the envelope in so many ways with this because of the character. It's all character driven. So
right.
I don't give a fuck. I will use keyboards and not give a shit. You know what
Maybe,
I mean?
Maybe, what was his name? Volek decides all of a sudden that he's a big Hall & Oates fan and he breaks into a Hall & Oates song in the middle of a show. Why not?
Let's do it, man. I will go along.
All right. Oh, now,
man.
The first drug you ever did, ideally after pot, unless weed is the worst drug you ever did.
No way. I did way worse.
I like that answer.
Probably was acid.
Acid. Okay. I've never tried acid. James?
I'm the white sheep here, man. I've never even tried weed. I've never admitted that on the show before.
Okay. And did you like it? Did you not like it?
I didn't think it was working at first. It had been like a fucking hour. And I'm like, well, what the fuck's the hype? And then I looked over and you remember Ernest Goes to Camp?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, that fucking actor, whatever.
Vern, the guy that played, the guy who would say, hey, Vern, that guy?
Varney.
Yeah. I looked
at Varney.
His face was on a cup like from a restaurant. And I fucking, that kicked in my acid and I started laughing. And I didn't stop laughing for like fucking 8 hours. Just if you would have got pulled over by the cops, there's no way to not get busted because I couldn't quit laughing. It was awesome. The walls were fucking melting and shit. It was crazy. But
that's crazy.
That was the drug.
We've been trying to figure this out because we do a drug. I've never done any drugs, right? Until this show started 5-6 years ago. And once a year, I try a drug on the air to see how it affects me. And we've been trying to debate what the next drug is. And I think the problem with acid for me is that it lasts so fucking long that I just don't want to do that. I want to do something that's in and out, maybe an hour, 2 hours tops, but acid is like 10 hours.
Just eat like one or two mushroom caps. And then
we've done mushrooms. We did mushrooms. None of it agrees with me. Anyway, so now the first time you had sex.
Well, I had done everything but the actual deed.
Until last Tuesday.
Exactly. Until I hired the girls for Lady Killer.
There you go. I wouldn't be shocked if he said six. I think everything happened for him at six.
I did fucking get drunk at 6 years old. I stole two beers. I stole two beers out of the refrigerator and drank two cores. I was fucking drunk, man.
Wow, by yourself alone?
Yeah.
Did you just knew, oh, my dad gets drunk and it looks happy, so let me try this?
I was at my grandparents, and they were full-blown alcoholics, but it was the norm, you know? So I'm like, cool. And they would always give me sips of their beers and shit, but then I was like, I'm going to do a whole one on my own. So I was always a fucking...
Wow.
I was always devil daddy.
I mean, I would imagine 2 full beers at 6 years old. You were fucking tanked.
I was so tank. I passed out. I was seeing like 2 or 3 of my shadows on the ground and shit. I was fucked up.
That's funny. Are you sober these days or still kind of living the life?
No, I'm sober.
Okay. How long have you been sober?
2012, January 8th. Oh,
wow. Long time. Jesus Christ. And now, so the first time you actually had sex, though, was when?
15.
15. Was it a girl you were dating or a, you know, one offer or what?
It was a girl that was 2 years older than me, and we were in the school band together. She was an upperclassman, and I was.
Wow.
Yeah. So her parents were out of town, and I took my drum kit over there, and we just were like making the worst music, screaming into a fucking cassette player and fucking thrashing on the drums. And she was playing bass. And then we ended up getting hammered and having sex that night.
Wow. I like that story. And someone had said this a couple of weeks ago, and I decided to try and start asking it to the rock stars that come on. He called it rock star sex. Do you remember who that was, Shannon? Because I can't remember who that was. But he, when I said the question, he thought I meant, might have been Gilby Clark from Guns, from, you know, Guns and whatnot. The first time you got sex because you were a rock star.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, I mean, that was...
I mean, it was Five Finger, I imagine. But do you remember the moment when you said, oh, the only reason why this girl is waiting in my dressing room or showed up at the hotel or whatever it is because of the band?
I'm trying to think.
I know it's an on-the-spot question, but it's just funny because when I said that, Gilby had this story that he remembered exactly when that happened.
I don't remember exactly when it happened. I mean, honestly, the first few years I was drinking every day on tour, but I would, I mean, there was lots of fucking happening. I mean, it's part of the deal, man.
Shannon, go to Vegas and blow them. And so we could call it the first time that happened.
Oh man.
Okay. So now Lady Killer TV, are you still working on it? Is there new stuff coming out with that? It's hard to find online.
Yeah. The reason was we were going to try to make it like a TV series on HBO, like a late night smut series, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're not interested in doing that anymore, but if you make it into a full length feature, we would consider, you know, just showing the movie. So I'm like, okay. So I kind of cannibalized it all and shot some scenes to go in between all the sex stuff and made it into a movie. I actually did three of them. So I'm just putting the finishing touches on the editing of number three, but the first one is supposed to come out sometime this year.
Wow. So
you will see it everywhere this year, the first film.
So you have the movie coming out. You have Psychosexual, five albums in the can already. You have your second book half written.
Yeah.
I would say that you've been very productive during COVID. Is that fair enough to assume?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do all that stuff during COVID. I know. I've been working my ass off. Yeah. And so it's going to be a busy year, but a fun year. And, you know, also doing so many records back to back. There's also, I kind of did it because lo and behold, if something does catch on, then you're like, shit, we got to follow that up, man.
Right.
But now that's eliminated. You know,
I can tell James had a question. He did this thing again.
Yeah. And it wasn't my shoulder. No, I just was fired, man. You're the most productive dude ever. I was going to say, in addition to all the albums, books, and TV series and movies, how many houses did you build? I just feel like you're the type of guy when someone's like, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm mowing my lawn. And then like at 9 o'clock, that guy comes over. It's like, oh, is that a separate fucking house you just made? Like,
he also became a cop during this whole time as well. Right?
A cop.
Why the fuck
back surgery? Fuck. Yeah. Man.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. He caught 18 collars too. Add that to the baseball
card.
And
by the way, before we started, I was bragging about drinking water like a jackass.
Jesus.
Dude, I give you kudos. I can't do a gallon of water. It fucking sucks, man. You got to put like crystal light in that shit or something.
Yeah. And what's cool is a bonus. I get to stay up all night peeing. So it works out on both ends.
Just don't get up. Just stay in bed.
I had a girl stay over here not that long ago, and it was her first time over. And it's like my third or fourth day at the time of doing this water. And I kept going up to go to the bathroom. I was like, it's bad enough that I am 20 years older than this chick. She's going to think I'm such a crotchety old man that I have to keep going to the bathroom. I don't want to explain that I'm trying to get healthy and not be such a fat slob anymore and drink water. But she definitely looked at me as like an old fuck.
See, that could have been such a better story if it was like all about piss play and all that.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it would have been great. Then maybe that's the next album of Devil Daddy.
Exactly. You gave me the inspiration for the fucking next lyric. I'm going to write that down.
And Ralph Sutton, I don't remember him, but he likes piss play.
It's going to be doing
by tomorrow. By tomorrow, he'll produce 8 different piss play videos. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. And by the way, Shannon dropped a good Hall & Oates reference there with Sarah Smile. I like it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Sarah Smile because Devil Daddy's pissing. That's the whole idea.
That's good shit.
All right. So the new album is Psychosexual. The band, the album is the singles, Devil from Hell. What's the album title again?
Unholy Hymns for the Children.
Ah, it's such a nice title. I love everything about it. If you're a fan of like Typo Negative, Lordy, all this like fun, cool, demonic rock and roll with tits and ass, this is the band for you. Jeremy, any other plugs you want to do? Your Instagram, the website, whatever it is. Now is the time, sir.
You can hit up Psychosexual Official on Instagram. That's cool.
Fair enough.
Or Official Jeremy Spencer, if you know, on my Instagram.
Those, you know, they're both real because they're both official.
They're official. It says it in the title.
The title. James, your plugs, please. And I know that James's plugs are always better than Shannon's. Go.
Yeah, man. You got to check out my Instagram, The James Madden. I don't fuck around. Also, you got to get on the podcast. Next to SDR, the number one podcast in America, is the Commissioner of Comedy Podcast. It is about the journey, the passion, the unspoken rules of comedy. Look, even if you don't want to be a comedian, you're clearly a comedy fan if you listen to this. You'll get fired up. As I say every time, you will run to a wall like the Kool-Aid man. You will go get you will be as productive as Jeremy after listening to this guy. I feel like Jeremy listened to every episode, and now he's building churches and shit. I don't even know if he's religious. He just builds churches, records an album in there, and dances with porn stars, and then kills them on film. So check out the Commissioner Comedy Podcast, The James Madden. Bam, baby.
Now, Shannon.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast. It may not make you want to be a comedian, but it'll make you giggle and it'll make you think. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And you can get it wherever you listen to podcasts or at gasdigitalnetwork.com.
You didn't say the name of the podcast.
Did I? Oh, that's right. I didn't. Wow. The thing is, ding.
All right, there we go. That's kind of weird.
I'm the worst. James is making me worse every week.
Good promo.
Shannon, you did wonderful.
I've been asking this question. I have to ask this question to the rock stars. Jeremy, do you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let me ask you one other. Have you ever been in any crazy fights?
Nah, nothing crazy. I got in like a fight in fifth grade.
God damn it. I got to fix this damn microphone. I'm going to hold it now. It's like my penis at 51. That's what happens right there. Damn it. Anyway, so follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton and my other show, Good Sugar Podcast. Oh, I don't have my book in front of me, but my book went to top 100, which is crazy. Wonderful. On Amazon about health and wellness. I got to hold this now. Wait, man. I can't leave it. There it goes. Oh, there we go. So follow that everywhere. Follow me at the SDR. Follow me at I Am Ralph Sutton. The Good Sugar Podcast is goodsugar.life. And Jeremy, thank you so much for taking the time out. We will make the song of the week on the playlist, Devil from Hell from Psychosexual. We'll add it at the SDRshow.com/playlist. Thank you so much, dude, for taking the time out and doing the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And next time I meet you, just pretend you remember me, man. It's a lot better for my ego.
Okay, I will.
All right, see you next week on the SDR Show.
Listening to the SDR Show.